All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Oh, this is lovely. So we're going to do old school. So we're all recording from home today, dear listeners. So we're going to do a little old school intro with Liam. Liam, I'm going to give you a little intro music here. Go ahead, buddy.
The Edmonton Oilers beat the crap out of the LA Kings yesterday. I can't think of anything else. The rat list grows every... Alberta's rat free until the LA Kings come, and then their entire team is rats.
I expected a better chant out of you.
Yeah, yep. So there's a great intro to the podcast.
It's hard to hear the music. I can't hear the music when I talk.
I could have cranked it up for you.
I finished watching Full Swing yesterday. The crowd at the Ryder Cup was very clever in how quickly they came up with their chants about the hats for
that thing was great
or whatever. Like, it was everybody on that side of the world. They are very, very quick on their chanting and their singing at sports, at sporting events.
I would have gone, because of how hot it looked when he was there, I would have gone hat on Pooh Bear, though. No pants until the guys get paid for the Ryder Cup, you know?
Well, I feel like you might get a really bad sunburn.
Well, just something to consider, you know? Rather have a sunburn on me legs than the heat stroke on my head. Welcome to Oilers Nation.
I wasn't expecting the legs.
Well, full Pooh Bear?
Well.
All right. Welcome to Oilers Nation Radio. It's Friday. Gang is all at home today. Bag Milk, Tyler, Rick, Liam, Dan is on the road, driving to parts unknown. Give you a little dose of Oilers talk anyway this morning, because we're just good for it. We're, as we do every week, we're going to start off with a delicious debate for our friends at Wendy's. But first, I need to tell you about the Cinnabon Pull Apart from Wendy's. The only thing sweeter than the taste of victory is starting your day with a new Cinnabon Pull Apart from Wendy's. Anybody had one yet?
I have not, but I should. $5 for a small coffee and a Cinnabon Pull Apart all day? That's unreal.
Come on, that's pretty good. There's no reason you can't have both now that Wendy's and Daily Faceoff Fantasy are giving you a chance to win weekly prizes all season long. And hey, even if you make a few wrong picks, at least you know heading to Wendy's right now for a $5 Cinnabon Pull Apart and a small coffee is a great choice. Sign up for Wendy's Daily Faceoff Survivor today at dailyfaceoffsurvivor.com. Sponsored by Wendy's and the Wendy's app. Go download that. Get yourself some points and work your way towards some free food. Normally, I lean on Tyler for the delicious debate, but I want to ask you guys a question after last night's win over the LA Kings, which we're going to get to in a minute. The Oilers currently have 11 games left on the season. I think my math is right on that. Yep, It is. I want to know. We're getting close to Clinchmas. Do we have a? Is it magic number yet? Where's Matt? I need him.
Check Iwanek. I think he's at 11. I was like 2 games ago, I think.
Oilers' magic number is down to 9 points.
So we got 9 as the magic number. So Clinchmas is just around the corner. So I want to ask you boys a little piece of NBA thoughts. Should the Oilers and Chris Knobloch consider load management for some of the star players down the stretch after Clinchmas is wrapped up? As you're thinking, looking at the standings right now with the win over the LA Kings last night, the Oilers are at 92 points. They're 4 up on Vegas. They're 5 up on LA. By no means is this clinched yet. The job's not done. Well, it is just around the corner. Tyler, what do you think of a little load management for the Edmonton Oilers?
I think it's fine, but I also think, you know, you want to be peaking at the right time and playing your best hockey down the stretch. So I think there's a time and a place for it when it comes to specific players, but I wouldn't be doing it like the day after you clinch or anything. I would be looking at that season ending set of back-to-backs against Arizona and Colorado and being like, okay, I think maybe you can rest a few guys in Arizona. You can rest a few guys in Colorado. The other thing too is coming second in the division is crucial for this team. And obviously the win last night goes a long way for all of that. But until they have home ice advantage, I'd actually probably say I don't want to think about it at all.
Rick?
Yeah, you know, it depends on the player. I think most would benefit from a day, game off or two, but at the same time, you got to secure that home ice advantage. After that, you can think about it, but I think most guys don't want it. So you might turn into a thing where you play them like 7-8 minutes instead of giving the game off, but I don't think you'll see anybody really get a game off. Well, at least the big guys anyways.
Tyler mentioned the Colorado Avalanche as one of those last games. Nathan McKinnon's home point streak ended last night.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. Last night it got wrapped up. Liam, what do you think? Load management?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Rick and what he said on the back half, where I don't see guys taking games off. I could see them just playing less 5-on-5 and more special teams, I guess, stuff like that, right? Like maybe the second unit gets a couple extra minutes or something like that on the power plays to start just in the third period if they're up. So I think it'll just be dependent on the game. Like if they're up by a few goals going into the third period, then yeah, I think guys will, they'll just be four lines rotating through. But I don't see anyone taking games off until maybe that final game. But there's a lot to play for still. Like we keep debating if the Oilers are in this race for first in the division. And now all of a sudden, I think they're 6 points back again with 2 games in hand. Maybe that's too few. I can't remember, but there's a lot to play for. So I don't think they'll do much load management right now. Until maybe the last 5 games.
Vancouver Canucks have lost their last 2 games. Currently, the Edmonton Oilers are 6 points back, 2 games at hand. You win those 2 games, you're 2 points back.
And we play them one more time, don't we?
And yeah. We play them one more time.
And we have the tiebreaker.
That is not a guarantee, actually.
What's the tiebreaker? Is it Reg wins?
Yeah, the first tiebreaker, according to the NHL website, is the greater number of games won in regulation. So the Canucks right now are at 39. The Oilers are at 34. So if you win your 2 games in hand and then you beat the Canucks, which again is what you'd have to do to get closer to tie them, then it's close. You're still 2 back, though. So, yeah, the Canucks probably hold the tiebreaker.
The Canucks actually have the most in the NHL. Most regulation wins in the NHL, which is nuts. And like the stupid thing about the Oilers is they should be right there with them. I can't think of too many, but like the one against Montreal the other day where like they should have just beat Montreal. Didn't that one go to overtime? And then Winnipeg too. It's just like you close out a couple of games and it's kind of a small detail in all of it. But at the end of the day, if it comes down to that, there'll be some moments that the Oilers wish they could have back to just close out games better.
Mm-hmm. I just think of the month of March in general, and I think of the loss to Columbus. I think of the loss to Buffalo. And those are the ones that stick out. You're not going to win every game, of course, and the Oilers have done more winning than they've done losing. But when we're talking about catching the Canucks, those are the ones that kind of stick out to me.
And yeah, I was crazy when I said they could do it.
I didn't. I'm right there with you. I'm always on the Kool-Aid.
But even like 5 days ago, we kind of sat there and were like, yeah, probably not going to happen. But then Like you just kind of look, it's things can flip in an instant. Like last night was the equivalent of a 4-point win over the Vancouver Canucks, right? Because they lost, you won, and all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, like we have a pretty easy matchup coming on Saturday against the Anaheim Ducks. Like if that's one of your games in hand, all of a sudden you're inching a lot closer if you win it. So it's interesting how things can flip.
So the losses from March that stick out, unfortunately, when it comes to just, you know, you need the points. Obviously, October, that's the sore thumb in all of this, right? They had like a 250 win percentage or some garbage like that back then. But in March specifically, you got the loss to Columbus. That one sucks. You got the 3-2 loss to Buffalo. Could you use that extra point? That one was in the shootout. You've got the 5-3 loss to Ottawa. Gave up a two-goal lead there. So those are the ones that stick up. The loss to the Leafs, they just played like junk. So you write that one off. You flush it and you move on. But it's going back to October now. Like those October losses are the ones that are kind of that they're kind of paying for, I guess, if you want to look at it that way.
The Canucks upcoming schedule, they play the Ducks on Sunday, and then they play Vegas, Arizona, LA, and then Vegas.
So they got a tough schedule. So the Oilers obviously got the Anaheim Ducks tomorrow, and then St. Louis on Monday, Dallas on Wednesday. That'll be a big one. And then next weekend, they've got Colorado on Friday, the Flames on Saturday.
Do you think that putting their goalie on LTIR was just some sort of move in order to get a backup in there? Or do you think he's ready? Is his first game back going to be the first game of the playoffs?
No, I talked to our pal Jeff Patterson from Canucks Army and Rinkwide Van, and it was a cap move because Lindholm needed to be day-to-day, so they had to call up a forward. But I think the plan still is to have Demko back and activated off LTIR with like 4 to 6 games to go in the regular season. And they want to get him 2 or 3 games in the regular season.
That's what I would have figured. You want to get him a couple before you get to the playoffs.
Yeah. So I guess for people that don't know too, you can, when he went on IR, they can say that's when he started LTIR, right?
You get retroactively.
That's the one.
I hope that this break on the shelf for Demko, just a little rust there, you know?
Just it'd be nice.
Well, the rest of the team's breaking down, so why not the goalie too?
Go ahead, Tyler.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, while we're on this conversation about like, you know, finishing where or whatever, you pass the Canucks. I don't think if you pass the Canucks, you really have a shot at catching Dallas. They're very far in front of you now, 9 points up. They're the first team in the West to clinch. So if you finish first in the Pacific, you're getting wild card team number one. Who would you rather play in the first round, though? Nashville or potentially LA? I think I'd rather play LA after what we watched last night.
Nashville's like, the thing with Nashville is like they caught fire down the stretch here. And that's with Saros and Net. Like we saw what happened last night. You know, Dad Bot, former friend of ours, he still holds a record for most wins in a season with the Oilers from the 2017 run. So we love Dad Bot to an extent. But last night, you see that Oilers had 4 goals on what, 20 some shots?
Yeah,
I don't know that happens against Saros. So to answer your question specifically, Tyler, I'd take the Kings all day.
I would too, but I do think the Oilers could beat either of those teams comfortably in 6 games. Like Saros is really good for sure, and I don't doubt the Nashville Predators can do it. But I think at the end of the day, the offense might just come through for Edmonton. It's kind of a bit overpowering.
They also have the mayor of Nashville on the roster, like. Who knows what Leon Draisaitl could do against the Predators in a 7-game series, you know?
Well, Nashville have a tough schedule, too. They have Boston, Avalanche, St. Louis, and then the Islanders, and then the Devils in the next 5. So we'll see what they're kind of made of over this little stretch. I know they just went on like 18 games of a point, but it's a tough little.
I think I'd rather take on Nashville for 2 reasons. One, because at the end of that 18 games or whatever, you tend to have a bit of a dip. I mean, you saw us after our big one. I think we went 5-5 or something like that. But the second is, I don't know if it'd be as physical. There's no real hatred there between Edmonton and Nashville with that is there between Edmonton and LA. LA is going to, they're going to bruise you. They're going to, there's some hurt feelings from the last couple of years, and you could see guys getting injured in that series. And well, I don't think there's that same animosity.
The Kings are just dirty all the time. Like Draisaitl got slew footed again last night.
I can't believe it was a penalty against him.
It was so stupid.
Well, this Tyler flash. Tweeted it. The ref show. Tyler tweeted it last night. That's what it was to start off the game. It was wild.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
It evolves into prison rules, but that's what we get when the Edmonton Oilers are playing. I had this theory last night. I was just sitting here thinking, and I was just like, watch. in 10, 15, 20 years, something like that, there's going to be a bunch of emails or text messages that get leaked about the Oilers power play and how they did not want to give them additional power plays because they're so lethal. I'm almost banking on it at this point because some of the missed calls on the Oilers. There was a point where Connor McDavid had the puck on his stick and he got tripped and fell right in front of the ref at his feet. And they're just like, ah.
Okay. That was great. That was a crazy one.
Exact same thing.
Yeah. The thing that really frustrated me, like, okay, so they call Draisaitl for the retaliatory slash. It's like, okay, yeah, technically he slashed him, but like, I don't know, man. Blake Lizotte's probably been spanked harder in bed. Like, what are we doing here? And then Arvidsson is just able, hey, pause. Arvidsson's able to just go give McDavid like three free shots while the play's going on in the corner and they're on the other side of the ice. And Arvidsson cross checks him like three times and the refs are like, ah, rivalry game. Gotta let him play. And it's like, okay, now we're letting him play. Like, what?
Yeah. Who knows what the rules of hockey are anymore?
Yeah.
I thought I did too.
I've been watching the sport a long time. I played it. When watching it, consume it, write about it, have no idea. What's a penalty? What's not? Could be anything. You know what I do know? For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. That's 25% off, $10 value, and zero delivery fees on your first order. And you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the promo code NATION25. Don't forget, code NATION25 gets you 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Offer valid in Canada, subject to change. Terms do apply. DoorDash has an amazing selection of local gems and the staples you need in a hurry, too. You can try something new or get your favorite comfort dish delivered right to your door. Get the double dash going. Two stops, no extra fees. Come on, it's a long weekend, gentlemen. Why not relax a little bit, put your feet up, get our friends at DoorDash hooking you up with a couple of little stops. Liam, if you're going to order some breakfast right now via our friends at DoorDash, what are you getting?
The Grand Slam, probably, from Denny's.
Oh, you're practicing for the golf thing?
Yeah, I've tried to put that out of my head, but I probably should get some reps in before I sit down for 24 hours.
I don't know if eggs are going to travel very well. That's always my thing about breakfast.
Well, I just get them scrambled.
Well, that's fair. That'll work.
I actually accidentally made scrambled eggs the other day, so I'm not much of a chef, as you can imagine.
Accidentally?
So,
what were you trying to make?
An egg. I just cracked an egg and I put it in. I just put it in the pan and I'm doing my stuff. And all of a sudden things start to get a little loose.
I'm not saying I'm a good cook by any means, but I crush eggs. I murder eggs.
Well, I made these great scrambled eggs and I loved them. Now I make them all the time.
Yeah. Got it. You put a little cheese in there or no?
100%. 100% cheese, a little salt, a little pep. It's great.
Yeah. You got it. But gentlemen, I want to know who delivered for you. We did an episode on Tuesday, so you had a couple of days of your life go by. A couple of Oilers wins. They had a big OT win in Winnipeg. They had the big win last night against the LA Kings. Tyler Yaremchuk, you're first up on my screen I'm looking at for our friends at DoorDash. Who delivered for you?
Who delivered? I mean, 4-1 dub. Actually, you know who I want to give some love to in this one? He scored a big goal, so like that obviously helps and keeps him in your head. But I thought Evan Bouchard, early on in that hockey game, was bringing like a real solid amount of like physicality and kind of nastiness. Like he was going after guys, he was cross-checking guys, he laid a big hit, which I feel like we barely ever see him do. So I thought Evan Bouchard, like going into a rivalry game, I thought he kind of stepped up to the challenge a little bit and was like, hey, I'm not going to be pushed around. Like I'm going to be a bit of a prick. So that was good to see. And the goal, obviously.
I would love if Evan Bouchard got 15% meaner. That would be awesome to watch. So I like seeing that too last night. Rick, for our friends at DoorDash, who delivered for you?
I've said his name before since he got here, but Corey Perry, man, that guy just keeps doing things. And if it's not on the scoreboard, you know, he gets in the fight in Winnipeg. He heads into the box to give Nursey a little tap afterwards. We all saw his quote from however many days ago. He's the epitome of what you need in a playoff player. And I just think I've wanted him here for a couple of years. I've wanted him here for a lot longer than that, but I absolutely love what he brings to the game. And the only thing I wanted was after Stu got run last night, I wanted to see Corey Perry end up in their crease a couple times and just do Corey Perry things. But what he's been doing right now, I think it's a massive addition to this team.
Shout out to Corey Perry last night, game number 1300 in his NHL career. That is a lot of games. The interesting kind of stat that they put out on the broadcast, or maybe it was on social, I don't remember. Last night was his 80th career game against the LA Kings. He's basically played a full season of hockey just against one team. It just shows how long he's been around. And to Rick's point, there's part of me that really dislikes how much I enjoy Corey Perry, because for how many games he played with the Oilers? 26 now. For most of those 1,300 games, Corey Perry has been very annoying around here. And it is fun watching him do it on our side. He just does a lot of stuff that's annoying. Like his constant, he'll get like a hack or something and it makes me laugh all the time, where he just grabs someone's stick and he tries to rip it out of their hands. He does it all the time. Makes me laugh. He's annoying. That's the exact kind of player I love to have the Oilers, or have on the Oilers. Liam, for our friends at DoorDash, who delivered for you?
I'll say Skinner delivered. He was really good last night, and I thought he had a pretty good game against Winnipeg too, especially in that first period. So he's had a good week, a good bounce back week after a very disappointing game against Toronto, but he's a really good goalie, and I think we need to trust him a lot more than some people do.
You know who delivered for me, and he was not taking heat, that's the wrong way of putting it, but some people were getting a little bit nervous about how much production or lack of production that Adam Henrique had in his first couple of games. We talked about it. We weren't worried about it. Our friend Colby Cohen from Morning Cup of Hockey said, listen, give the guy a couple of weeks to settle in. He doesn't have his family. He's living out of a bag in a hotel. Like, give him a minute. Now he's got 3 goals in his last 6 games. And the thing I like most about those goals that he's scoring is they're greasy. They come as a result of going right to the net. So his first one was the tap in the crease from the pass from Matthias Ekholm. The second one was a lucky bounce off his skate into the net. That's from charging the net. Last night, he's parked right in the crease again. Draisaitl hits him in the chest, bounces in off his chest into the net. Those are just, to me, those are veteran goals from a guy who knows where he needs to go to score some greasy ones. And it can't all be Zach Hyman in the crease. Adam Henrique deserves a little bit of love, so he delivered for me. I think he's playing some good hockey, too. He's just sneaky good. He's fun to watch.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was waiting for someone else to go first, but like, he's not. And I like the way Cam put it on Oilers Nation every day on Thursday. It would have been, but like, he's not an Ekholm level addition where you're going to sit there and be like, wow, like look at the impact he's making every night. But what he did, he raised the floor of the team, right? I know Carrick hasn't played in a couple of days and he was a part of that deal as well. But like just having Henrique on the ice, he doesn't make mistakes. Maybe you don't notice him every single shift or every single period, but sometimes not noticing a guy is also pretty good. So the fact that Henrique goes out, plays mistake-free hockey, can play center, play the wing, help out on the penalty kill, like he just checks so many boxes and raises the floor of the forward group.
Love that. Adam Henrique deserves a little love. By the way, Henrique and Draisaitl, same line. That's too much handsome for anybody to handle. Kings couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle that smoke. Who can?
No wonder Talbot couldn't stop that puck. He was just looking at their beards.
Of course. They're very, very handsome. Both of them. It's a lot of handsome on one line. Anybody else stick out as other names that we didn't mention that delivered for you?
I mean, you can always look at the captain. That guy just, he keeps closing the Art Ross race. He keeps closing the assist race. Like, that dude just, he doesn't stop. Every day you get the best out of him. And that's not something you see out of players.
Connor McDavid last night had a goal and two assists, Rick. So that extended his point streak to 6 games, where he has now put up 2 goals, 14 assists for 16 points. He's up to 95 assists on the season. He's at 122 points. He is only 2 back of Nikita Kucherov. Connor McDavid is doing very, very Connor McDavid.
Can he still win the Hart? Does he, like, is it an auto Hart if he gets 100 assists? Because I know at one point people are kind of talking about that. What if he has the 100 assists and the Art Ross? Is that a Hart?
I mean, it puts him in
just Nate here. What Nate has done all year has been absolutely phenomenal. And I think taking the Hart away from him is very difficult. But at the same time, what Connor's doing is, dude, 3 other people have done it ever.
My worry with Connor is always voter fatigue, in a sense. Like, Nathan McKinnon's having a hell of a season. He's been doing it all year. Even though Connor is going to, you know, in my opinion, allegedly pass him and just win the Art Ross again, I just think it's probably McKinnon's to lose this year. Tyler, Liam, thoughts?
I don't know. Like, I also think McKinnon's easily the favorite, but with the way McDavid's going, what if he passes him by like 10, 12 points? You know, like, what if you get to a point where we get to a double digit gap on the Art Ross race, you know? And it's just like,
crazy to think right now.
Yeah, like, how do you not? And I know McDavid's goals are down, but to get 100 assists and like being able to get Zach Hyman to 50, like, the scoring on the Oilers for their star guys, like, goal scoring is down. Like, Nugent didn't score at his rate. McDavid's down by like 30 goals. Drysdale's not going to hit 50 this year. Like, I don't know. Maybe it should be way more of a debate than it really is right now, and we shouldn't just hand it off to Nathan McKinnon.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the way, like, just some McDavid stats here. He's got multi-point efforts in 8 of his last 10. He's got 3 or more points in 5 of those last 10 as well. He's now, like you guys said, 2 back of Kucherov, 1 back of McKinnon, but he's got 1 more game to play than Nikita Kucherov. He's got 2 more games to play than Nathan McKinnon, and he's got some games. Like, you got the Ducks coming up. Like, what's he going to do to the Anaheim Ducks on Saturday? He could very easily put up 4 or 5 points against the Anaheim Ducks. So I do think if you gave me even money on all 3 of them, I would put a lot of money on Connor McDavid. I think if I was making the odds, I'd be putting McDavid as like a minus 180 favorite to win the Art Ross. I think he's put himself in that kind of a spot. Like, you go and put up 14 points in 5 games. Like, yeah, that you deserve to be the favorite. You can keep doing this.
But yeah, he can, and he has. He's proven that he can do it. And the interesting thing too is, even, what was it, probably like a week ago, he was 8, 9, 10 points behind Kucherov, and people go, oh, that's quite the gap. And then Connor just goes and does Connor things, and it, all of a sudden, that gap is gone in a hurry.
Well, you do something 4 or 5 points in a game, and you turn the game off, you look over at Tampa Bay, and Kucherov did the exact same damn thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be interesting. Maybe we can look at it, the odds for that, Tyler, if they've changed, for the courtesy of our friends at Bet99 when we get there. I want to go look at last night's win over the LA Kings because, number one, they're 1-3-1. They can call it whatever they want. That's the trap, and it's fucking boring. Rick, you're going to remember watching Minnesota Wild games when Jacques Lemaire was the coach, and does that not remind you of watching those old Wild games?
It does. And New Jersey back in like the mid-90s when they were winning their cup were doing the same. Well, they were doing a different bit of a trap, but I spent all night last night just yelling, hey guys, you're allowed to forecheck.
Nope, you're not. It's like they just abandon the forecheck and then settle into that like T, essentially that T formation. It is wild to watch. But did the Oilers kind of find the recipe for getting around it last night is the question I want to ask, Tyler?
I think they've kind of developed that recipe over the last couple of years. And my thing for LA, I had this conversation with Gregor yesterday. And he was like, you know, do you think the Kings will ever change up the way they do things? Because it's clearly not working. And I know Jack had the line on the broadcast of like, you can call it a rivalry, but for it to be a rivalry, you got to win once in a while. Mm-hmm. And I know the Kings scoop up their little regular season wins here and there. And once in a while, the 1-3-1 does work. Like, if the Oilers aren't sharp and on their game offensively, we saw them get shut out by the Kings. Like, it can work. But I think when you have Edmonton LA in a best of seven series, I just think the Oilers offense is, it's due to have nights where it clicks. And when the offense clicks and you're going up against a team that's playing such a passive style of hockey, and they're sitting there and their whole game plan is to basically just hope you don't convert on the chances you get. I don't know, man. I don't think that style of play from the Kings works in today's NHL anymore. And to see them continue to do it even after the coaching change leads me to believe they're never going to change their ways. And I just think that makes it even easier for, like you said, for the Oilers to, they know the recipe. They just got to keep doing it, right? And that's what we saw last night. That we've seen them play that style of game against the Kings before, and it worked before. And the Kings don't have the ability, even within game, to adjust. Like, when they go down by a couple of goals, all they did last night was throw a bunch of pucks on net from the outside for the most part. They don't actually have the ability to, like, generate a ton of quality in their offense or suddenly start playing with more pace.
Liam, what do you think of the trap?
I think it's boring. Yep. And I would like them to stop so I can enjoy my hockey in the first round this year.
It is funny too, like, more players recently have been speaking out how shitty it is that the LA Kings slot into that 1-3-1.
It's interesting for, like, a free agent perspective too. Like, I wonder how many players are going to be able to recruit over the next few years. Like, I know that they've been able to draft and develop, and that's good for them and everything, but, like, why would you want to go and play there? You're not going to, like, rack up a ton of points to, like, get you more money down the road. Like, I wonder if this could also harm them at some point.
No, well, you get to live in LA.
Yeah, but also the taxes in LA are brutal. So, like, there's actually, like, a lot of layers, and, like, they're never going to get past the first round because they're not better than Edmonton. They're not better than Vancouver. And when Vegas is healthy, they're not better than Vegas. So you're always going to be the fourth or worst team in your division because of the way you play.
I mean, it's painful. It reminds me of Jacques Lemaire. And I hated those Minnesota Wild teams, and I hate the LA Kings. Before we move on from last night's win over the Kings, I'd like to check in on the rat list. Every year going into the playoffs, Tyler Yaremchuk goes through rosters and develops his rat list. Now, Liam mentioned this earlier. The Kings are good at just developing and promoting their own internal rats, even if they trade some away, as they did to the Winnipeg Jets. Tyler, I'm going to ask you to look at the Los Angeles Kings roster, because I see a team again last night, another example of them just being dirty. Who you got on the rat list this year for the LA Kings?
Well, they added Pierre-Luc Dubois, and he's interesting because if he gives a shit, he's like a really good rat, but he quite often just doesn't give a shit. So it's hard to include him in the list. I will say there's a couple of guys who are, they're very clearly at the top of the rat list. Like, you have Mikey Anderson, who loves mixing it up. And then the second you touch him, he acts like it's the worst thing anyone's ever done to anyone in a hockey game. And the other guy is Blake Lizotte. That dude, he's listed at 5'9". I think he's honestly 5'4". And he runs around and he just does his greasy little shit to try to get under the skin of the Oilers. And there was a moment last game that I loved, and there was a scrum right in front of where I was sitting, and Warren Fogle, like, popped him up by the jaw, and Lizotte just immediately crying. He's holding his jaw and he's looking at the ref being like, what the hell? Then as soon as he moves his hand away, I think it was Henrique who just came in and popped him right in the same spot. Almost like Henrique was sitting there watching him being like, oh, your jaw hurts. Your jaw is, he moves his hand, boom, gives him another one. So I hate Blake Lizotte and Mikey Anderson more than anyone else on that team. But they have a ton of rats. I mean,
Drew Doughty.
Yeah, he's brutal. But again, like, and he's annoying too. Like, that Kane hit, that was a penalty to start the game. How that's because Doughty was scared and decided to jump out of the way and then flop. Like, that's all it was.
How do you call tripping? Nothing.
I want to know.
Nothing below his waist made contact with anything below Doughty's waist. It was a terrible call.
Awful call. Like, you see, I was just like, so Kane gets called for tripping. I thought I missed something else on the play. Like, after the hit, I'm like, oh, did Kane knock someone's legs out or something while he was skating away from Doughty? That's what I thought. And then they show the replay of Doughty trying to jump out of the way of the hit, and Kane gets penalized for it anyway. Very, very annoying.
Do you remember what Gabe Velotti said about Lizotte?
Yes.
At the start of the season. No. So Lizotte injured Velotti.
Yes.
And I can't remember what he did, but Velotti was out for a while. And basically when he came back, he was like, if you guys knew who Blake Lizotte really was, you would know that wasn't an accident, all this stuff. And after seeing last night, like, I don't pay attention to the LA Kings until they come to Edmonton because, again, it's very boring to watch them. But he is just, like, slew-fighting Draisaitl. Like, mm-hmm. you can say he got caught by Cody Ceci going into the net, but also he still rammed the goalie at the end of the day. It's just stuff like that. Someone needs to beat that guy to a pulp.
So Gabe Vilardi, Blake Lizotte were teammates for, I mean, it would have been 3 or 4 years in LA. Yeah. Blake Lizotte hurt him and it kind of looked like an accident on the play. So when Vilardi came back to the lineup and they're playing the Kings that night, what a reporter asked him, was it frustrating being out that long with something that was a freak accident? And he said, I think you could say that, but at the same time, no. Personally, I think it's a play that doesn't need to happen, but what am I supposed to do now? I've played with him a lot. He's done a lot of little things like that. It's stuff you guys say it was an awkward fall. It wasn't an awkward fall. It's someone pushing your feet out from the back, slew foot. My knee gets caught under me, and then he tackles me. It's that simple. He keeps going on, and they asked, did Blake reach out and apologize to you? And he said, that's between me and him. I'm not going to get into that. So Blake Lizotte, not exactly very well-liked, I guess.
Another thing just on the rat list, you mentioned Mikey Anderson again. I know he got a penalty for it, but I loved the cross check to the ribs from Hyman. Oh, it was just like he leaned into him real good with us. Like he had a free one at the ribs and he took it and I loved it. I love when the Oilers play sassy. Makes me happy. A guy who was playing sassy last night, Tyler, you mentioned him before we started recording. Evander Kane had another really solid night for the Oilers. He was running around that first shift. He took a run at Doughty. Doughty was the one that tried to jump out of the way, but that's a couple games in a row since the healthy scratch, maintenance day, whatever you want to call it at this point. Kane's playing some pretty good hockey despite not actually getting on the score sheet.
He loves getting up for those LA Kings games. Like from the first shift, he was engaged. He was taking extra strides to finish his checks. And that's the kind of Evander Kane that the Oilers need, right? Like sometimes he becomes a bit too much of a passenger, but him waking up for that game was a very welcome sight. He ended up with a shot on net, so not as great offensively as maybe, or as strong offensively as he was against the Winnipeg Jets when he had 6 shots on net at 5-on-5 alone. But I thought he had a great game, man. He was doing what makes Evander Kane effective, getting under the other team's skin. And I thought he had a decent night with the puck on his stick, even if it didn't translate to a ton of shots.
I like the line with Corey Perry and Ryan McLeod. I think that on both sides, you've got two veterans who have been around a long, long time. McLeod's got all the wheels you need in the world to go get retrieve pucks or just even transport the puck through the neutral zone. I like the way that line's looking right now.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to play against 90 and 91 at the same time.
No, like, they're both.
If you line up and you look on the, if you're lining up at center and you look on your left and your right and you see both those guys out there at the same time, dude, I'd be looking for a line change right now. Those guys are going to, they're going to get between your ears and it's not going to be a fun time out there. And then when they are messing with your head, they're going to do something. It's going to hurt you too.
They showed a little clip on the broadcast and it was just a nothing kind of clip, but it was those two, Kane and Perry, getting off the ice for a line change. And as it was kind of like the players were crossing at the doors kind of. So there was Kings going off, there was Oilers going off. And you see Corey Perry, he goes to grab someone's stick or do whatever Corey Perry does. The guy kind of turns around to see who's doing what. And right as he turns around, Evander Kane gives him a quick cross check. Those two are incredibly annoying to play against individually. When they're out there together, they cause mayhem. And I love to watch it. If they can get a little bit of offense going between those three, all of a sudden that third line is a real problem.
I think one thing that would be interesting with that pairing playing together going forward too is what Perry said the other day about checking your ego at the door and just coming to play. Like maybe Perry can balance Evander Kane a little bit on that side of things. I think he's played well recently, mm-hmm. but maybe they can just kind of spark something in each other by being dicks every time they go out on the ice and creating some havoc.
There's a Bash Brothers mentality to that. And I think that if Corey Perry, like, listen, Rick said it, Corey Perry's bringing a lot to the roster right now. And I don't know that there could be a greater benefit than having him voice those opinions like, "Hey, let's check our egos here. We're on the third line, but let's go make the most of it." Like that kind of stuff could go a long way.
It reminds me of, I don't think he was as vocal, but when Duncan Keith was here and the effect that he afterwards, right? Like it was a big hole that felt like it had been left. And Corey Perry seems to have filled that and has been more vocal about it with saying stuff like, "Yeah, check your ego at the door. We're here to do a job and he's been able to score. What's he have? Does he have six goals for the Oilers now, or is that too many?
I think
I think he has six goals.
I think that's high.
He's just like quietly controlling.
He brings that stuff that you really can't measure.
He's got six. Yeah. He's got six, three assists, 9 points in 27 games. So he's contributing. Like, he's not playing a ton of minutes. This isn't Corey Perry that won the Hart Trophy we're talking about, but we're talking about a guy who's a veteran, who's kind of done everything you can at the professional level. And now he's coming in and contributing with some key goals and some moments where every single night you notice Corey Perry being Corey Perry. And it's fun to watch.
And when the playoffs come around too, like if we do play LA, he's going to also draw some penalties or take some guys to the box with him by doing stupid shit like he did, trying to take sticks and stuff like that. The Kings are going to be pissed about it.
Like, it's about
fucking annoying, but it's going to be great to see that happen in an Oilers jersey.
We talk about the Kings rat list. Well, like, the Oilers now have the King rat on their team, and it's fun to watch him do his thing. You know? Want to get into a little betting talk. My friend Tyler Yaremchuk is looking at some odds from our friends at Bet99. Of course, they are the number one online gaming experience in Canada. They're built by Canadians for Canadians. Experience Bet99. Same game parlays, player props, flash bet markets, fast payouts, and smooth transactions. Provided that you are 19 plus, can play responsibly and not a person in Ontario, our friends at Bet99, they've got the odds to bring you closer to the action. Download the app. Bet99. Tyler, what do you got for us?
First off, I cleaned up betting on the Toronto Blue Jays yesterday. I'm very happy that betting on baseball is back. My favorite baseball bet is betting on pitcher strikeouts. That leaves you on the edge of your seat the entire game, because every time your pitcher gets a guy to two strikes, you're up. You're like, come on, give me one here. And then when you're one strikeout away, ooh, that's a good sweat.
Jose Barrios coming through.
He did come through. He exactly hit his number. It was 5.5. He finished with 6. All right. To the hockey stuff, looking at their futures tab right now, we talked about the race for the top spot in the Pacific Division. It is all of a sudden a race once again. The Oilers 6 back of the Canucks, 2 games in hand, and a head-to-head matchup still to go this season. Let's do this. I'm not going to tell you guys the odds. I'm going to ask you for your percent chance, and I'm going to see how close you get to the odds. So, Liam, what do you think the percent chances that the Oilers catch the Canucks?
Well, it's obvious why he didn't go to Rick, because his answer is 100. I will say, I think they have a really good chance, but it's all down to themselves. I'll just go high so people leave me alone. I'll say 75%.
I think 75% chance they catch the Canucks.
Yeah, sure. Why not? I've doubted him all season. I've said Connor Brown would score another goal for the Oilers. You know, that's three. Right.
That last goal was a beauty one, too.
It was a really good goal. So 75% they catch the, what are they called?
The Vancouver
losers.
Mm-hmm. Rick, what's your number?
We're doing it, man. We're taking that spot. I've said it all the time. I think we're getting it. I just don't think Vancouver can hold on right now. And with the games that they have ahead of them, I don't see them holding on to the first spot.
All right. So Rick's, I'm assuming, 100. Saying 100. BM, what do you think?
I'm telling Rick with 100. I want it. Give it to me. Rick and I are the Kool-Aid drinkers on the podcast recently and have been all season. And I need you two to get on our level for a while. We're manifesting. We're manifesting another banner going up there. We got a bunch of banners that we need to hang up next season. And this division win is just the first.
Our friends at Bet99, not as optimistic as you two that the Oilers will catch them. They have the odds at +210, which translates to 32.26%. So 32% chance is what they're giving the Oilers, +210 odds. But hey, if you guys think it's going to happen, that sounds like free money.
Free money to me.
Hart Trophy. They do have updated odds on that. Nathan McKinnon's running away with it. He's a -280 favorite. Kucherov's in second at +500. Connor McDavid is in third at +550. So they're saying Connor McDavid about a 15.3% chance of winning the Hart Trophy this year. They don't have odds on the Art Ross, which is a shame, because I would love to bet on that. What do you make a +550 for Connor McDavid to win the Hart?
I can see myself dropping a couple of shekels on a number like that. You know, I feel like I don't bet against Connor McDavid doing anything. And if he can go out and win me a little bit of money, again, the Oilers have 11 games left to play. Who knows what he does in 11 games? in his 6-game point streak, he has, what did I say earlier? 14 points, 16 points. What did I say? 16 points. Like, who knows?
11 games and get him 25 to 30 points.
We could all of a sudden be
talking to think about, but it's not that out of the realm of possibility.
We could be looking at the end of the season going, fuck, he's really close to 1,000 points. That could be another angle. So am I going to sprinkle a couple of nickels on plus 550 for Connor to win the Hart? Yes, I might just do that.
Can you imagine? He's at 122 right now. Could you imagine if by the end he gets close to 150?
1,000 points.
It would be right there. It'd be right there.
He needs so 28 in his final 11 to get to 1,000.
It's a tall order. But listen, if there's anybody who can do it, he's number, it's 97.
If he has a big night against Anaheim.
How many points does he have in his last 5 games? We said 16?
14.
He's got 16 in his last 6 games.
Oh, boy.
14 and 6?
14 and 5.
14 and 5.
Yeah, he's got
16
points in 6 games.
Well, that's 28 points in 10 games.
He's going to be right there.
Oh, so
he's stupid, man.
What does he need to average?
28 and 11. So whatever, just under like 2.5, maybe a little less.
And like, he played Anaheim and San Jose.
I'm not.
Oh my goodness. They play Anaheim and San Jose in the last however many games.
And Arizona.
And here's the other angle is Connor's also starting to score goals again.
Got when one,
he's
yeah.
scoring goals and he's ripping shots and he scored last night, that's going to open up some avenues for him to pass to Hyman. Like, can Connor get close? How close does Hyman get to 60? There's a bunch of stuff that's going to be fun to kind of watch down these last 11 games, just like pure point mark chases, but it's going to be fun to watch. I'm looking forward to it.
There you go. Those are your betting odds for Bet99.
Rich people find money on the ground or something like that.
Or like you put your hand in your pocket and you pull out a 20. It's just like the greatest moment ever.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Am I going to bet on Connor to get the Hart Trophy? Yes, I am. Thank you, Bet99, for the opportunity to take your money away from you. I appreciate it.
Can I ask for one more odds update, Tyler?
Okay.
What are the odds for the Central Division?
To win the Central?
So while Tyler's looking that up, currently we are sitting Dallas's first place at 101 points. They clinched their playoff spot in second place, Colorado with 98 points in 73 games. Winnipeg in third, 94 points in 73 games. Nashville's at 90, St. Louis at 82. Looking at the wild card race over on or in the West, I should say. LA is currently in the second wild card spot at 87 points. Nashville in the first at 90 points.
Dallas is minus 210 to win the Central. Colorado's plus 180.
And they play each other one more time. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And that Colorado has a game in hand, I believe.
Correct. So you could almost, it's not, this logic isn't fully lining up, but you could almost look at that as a plus 180 money line bet on the Avs beating the Stars.
And I think that game is in Colorado, so you wouldn't get those odds. Like plus money on Colorado to win. Interesting stuff on Bet99.
Lehman's looking at angles. He's got angles. Are you going to follow him down the rabbit hole, just as we did yesterday with Jay's healthy bet that he put in? You know, it did come close. It did come close. It's good stuff. It is good stuff. I want to tell you, Tyler, I know you're looking for summer activity plans. I know you are a gentleman who enjoys the outdoors. And I know you are a gentleman who enjoys a little bit of golf. And I know you're a gentleman that enjoys a little bit of camping. So why not set yourself up with a weekend to remember? Thanks to our friends at the Snow Valley Aerial Park and Rainbow Valley Campground. Opening on May 31st, family fun all summer long at the Aerial Park. Attractions include the Aerial Tower, White Mud Creek Mining Company, Target Golf, and the all-new mini golf. Creekside Eats will be open for snacks and refreshments. Watch for on-hill events all summer long. You want to do a little camping? I recommend you do. Opening May 15th this summer. Take advantage of over 60 sites and 3 comfort camping domes right here in the city. It is Edmonton's only campground. If you visit rainbow-valley.com, the online bookings are opening very, very soon. Do a little staycation in the city. or if you're out of the city, why not come on down? What a weekend you could have. Do a little camping, hit the aerial park, smash some golf balls at the ski hill. I love it. Everything about that little area is fantastic. Gentlemen, I've got three questions for you for Ask the Idiots this week. Not one of them has to do with hockey, but it is Easter long weekend. So I've got some candy questions. I've got some long weekend questions. And I got some TV questions. That's the three. Tyler, you're up first on my list. What is the perfect long weekend for you?
Is it summer, winter? What season? Just any?
Sure. Let's say this, we're in a long weekend right now. Let's say this spring long weekend.
Oh, well, it's probably not going to happen because of the weather, but this spring long weekend would have been perfect if I could have hit up a driving range. I think it's a little bit too chilly out today to do that, but maybe on Saturday or Sunday I can swing that in. So I'm going to go ahead and say hitting the driving range and having a beer outside at some point. Just the nice, crisp, fresh spring air and a cold beer. That's good. So beer and golf.
Rick, what's the perfect long weekend for you?
Couple beers on the patio.
Doesn't get better than that.
It's real simple. Nice in the sun. Just hang out outside.
Liam, you're thinking of a perfect long weekend. What does that entail?
You're starting off with Friday. I'll work it into Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Monday, you don't got to work.
Yeah. I like to camp on my long weekends, like through the spring and the summer. Actually, I would say, just to add a little bit more to this question, May long is the most overrated long weekend of the year. Because you think it's going to be really warm, but then you get to it and it's like super windy. Not actually that nice at all. So the best long weekend is August long weekend when I go camping. Used to be BVJ. So that I'll say that going to BVJ was the perfect long weekend.
If we're going to pick our favorite, Tyler, Rick, think of your favorite long weekend now that Liam had mentioned it. I'm going to go with September, the Labor Day long weekend.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Cooler in the evenings. You can still get your daytime activities in. But my favorite long weekend, if I'm planning out my ideal long weekend, it'd probably be going out to the lake, hanging out at the cabin, a couple of beers around the fire. Maybe I whip myself up a dog on there. Maybe a handful of dogs.
Awful.
I think that'd be a really, really nice weekend for me. I got a fresh bag of spits and I'm just ripping those babies into the fire. Walk the dog, sit in the sun, a little bronze. I get my diamond and diamond on. Everything about that sounds lovely. Everything about that sounds lovely. Tyler, what is the ultimate long weekend? Which one?
I think it's Labor Day. I think I agree. Like, sometimes in the middle of summer, people are gone, they're on vacations, whatever. But like, I always feel like September long, people are usually in town. You can get together with your friends and everyone's kind of itching to make the most of the last long weekend before winter.
Rick, what's the best long weekend?
It's those four in the summer. It's June, July, August, September. Those are the four. You need to have it nice outside. And the May one isn't nice enough yet. Everything before that isn't nice. October, you're talking Thanksgiving. So that's beyond at that point. You need to be outside. It needs to be hot. It needs to be sunny. So I'm not going to pick one, but I'll just take those four nice ones in the summer.
Just go with a full summer season.
Yeah.
One thing I will say that I will not slander May long weekend for these days specifically is May long weekend means Edmonton Oilers are in the playoffs.
Yes.
And that's true. Is fun to have some free days of zero responsibilities to do a little drinking. Watch my beloved Edmonton Oilers. Round two. I'm going to reverse the order. Liam Horbin is up first. Question number two comes in from Jason. What is the best and worst Easter candy or chocolate?
The best is mini eggs.
Of course.
That's the best. That's quite an easy one. Honestly, I don't eat a lot of chocolate, but I really don't like Easter eggs. I just feel like it's a lot. It's a lot of chocolate just in general. So just a general Easter egg.
Rick, best and worst Easter chocolate candy.
Just like standard chocolate is the best. Don't get fancy. Don't get crazy. And then the worst is anything with a creamy middle.
Yeah. If you're getting a bunny, you going solid or you going hollow?
That's a tough one. I think I'm going to go hollow.
Yeah, I'm going hollow every time.
I just like to be able to like snap it off and eat it like brittle.
Pop that baby in the fridge or in the freezer. Come on.
Yeah.
Tyler, best and worst Easter chocolate or candy?
I'll agree. Mini eggs, great. Any just sort of generic milk chocolate. Even sometimes you'll just like, you know, someone will have a little bowl out and you're like, ooh, these are like from the dollar store in the little mesh bag. Don't matter. They're electric. Any kind of milk chocolate's good. The worst one, easy. Fuck Peeps. All my homies hate Peeps.
I was going to say, it's not even close. Peeps are awful. I don't even know why they still make those anymore. You put one in your mouth. Yeah, they're like the pink ones or the yellow or the blue. Like, they're just awful. They're awful. So that is an easy answer for me. To be different a little, I also don't like Cadbury cream eggs, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't like the goo. Get the goo out of here. Best though, mini eggs is I don't understand why they don't sell those year round. I mean, they probably do, but like they only come out prominently at Easter. I don't understand that at all. I would be eating those all year round if they were more prominently placed at my local establishment. Kind of like my guy Tyler's always got Sour Patch Kids. I'd always have that motherfucking thing on me if they were out. Mini eggs. Last question. I'm starting with Rick. You're right in the middle. This one's going to take some thought, boys. It's going to take some thought. This one comes in from our boy, Dangerous Wade. Dangerous Wade submitting a question. What is the best all-time TV theme song? And Dangerous Wade will also award points to Liam if he sings along.
Okay. I'll try.
Theme song.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll just go. Friends. Like, everybody knows the Friends theme song.
It was an actual song.
Yeah, I know. But it was great. So I mean, if I have to pick a regular one, I'll go a bit more modern and just say The Office.
The Office is fantastic.
See, this is a question by an older person, though, because you can tell there are a lot more beginnings to shows in the 80s and early 90s, where it is like they had a minute and a half song or whatever, like introduce the characters or whatever. They don't really do that anymore. Go back and like Baywatch had a good one.
Oh, you would.
A-Team had a good one. there are some good ones back from the 80s.
Tyler, what's the best TV theme song?
Do you not always tap your feet when the Family Guy theme song comes on? Because again, it's like a song. It's not just a jingle. There's like lyrics to it. It's a production. They're all doing the big dance. I'll go with that.
I'm going to go with a show that I've loved since I'm 12 years old that is still on now.
Coronation Street.
Of course, Coronation Street, electric theme song, but I'm going with South Park. Yeah. The Prime has nailed it. It's fun to sing along with. It's fun to pretend you know what Kenny's singing. The whole thing is good. So shout out to South Park for still going. It is still on and it is still great. So there you go. Ask the Idiots for our friends at Snow Valley and Rainbow Valley Campground. If you want to submit a question for the boys, they don't get to see these beforehand. Just slide on into my DMs. Just give me a little slide. Send pictures of Tyler to me. Send pictures of your feet to Tyler. Send questions to me for Ask the Idiots. Got it? Tyler nods yes. Tyler agrees. Tyler wants pictures of your feet. Before we wrap up the podcast with hot and cold performers, Rick mentioned it earlier, and I just want to touch on it real, real quick. Could Connor Brown heating up down the stretch? I know Gregor says it's like having another trade deadline acquisition. I don't do that. But how impactful would it be if 20-goal pace Connor Brown ends up showing up down the stretch? The first goal he scored, junk. Charged to the net. Kane hit him in the legs, bounced, and that's the ugly one you need. Goal two. Pumped. He shot that one, but it was basically into an open net. There was no goalie to be found. Pop that in. Goal three, however, was a fucking snipe. He ripped that thing and he buried it. So he is
the winning goalie.
Yes, he did. Yes, he is. And he's looking like a guy who's starting to feel a little good about his game. Tyler, how impactful would it be? We're not talking about a trade deadline acquisition, as our boy Jason Gregor said, but we are talking about a player who could be impactful. Maybe even, dare I dream? Imagine, I'm going to dream here, Rick. Give me a second. Pisani-esque down the stretch.
Man, the Oilers need to get consistent production from their bottom six. So if Connor Brown starts scoring, like, remember, after the preseason, we were sitting here talking about this guy scoring 25 goals as an Oiler. That's how high on him we were.
I don't think
if he can score at a 20 goal pace in the playoffs, that's two goals every series. If you get that, that's massive because it means your bottom six is actually producing consistently. So it would be massive, man. And if he has a good playoffs, Connor Brown back like 800K-900K next year, I wouldn't hate it.
I wouldn't hate it if you get him close to a league, man. Like, where else is he going to go? Sometimes you dance with the devil, you know, in a situation like this. Lehman, you said he wouldn't score again all season. Now he's got three. The last one was a beauty. What are your thoughts on just the impact Connor Brown could have down the stretch?
Yeah, it would be great. That fourth line, like Yanmark's not as contributing as much as he did in that little streak, but Carrick has 9 goals on the season. You have Brown chipping in a bit more. Like, I agree with what Tyler said. It just means that, like, your bottom six is doing something. And in that first round against the Kings last season, like, that was a game six, like, Clem and Yamamoto got huge goals for the team, and they were playing in that bottom six. So you need that again. Mm-hmm. And I think you would also give him the option of trusting McDavid to go out there with, trusting Brown to go out there with McDavid in certain situations if you really need to try and push that as well. So, yeah, it would be massive. I'm not going to go with the approach either of, oh, it's a trade deadline acquisition, because at the end of the day, Evander Kane hasn't scored in like 17 games either. So he's kind of just taking those goals away from what Evander Kane should be doing.
Evander Kane, if he starts going, it could be a second trade deadline acquisition.
Yes.
A little love for Connor Brown down the stretch here.
Yeah, man. Like, I don't really look at him as the Pisani, but I do look at him as like the Mike Pekka. Pekka really didn't have a good regular season in 06 with us, and then he started doing what he does in the playoffs. And Connor Brown has the exact same opportunity right now. So, yeah, anytime you get production out of your bottom six, and I kind of like when Gregor called it the addition there, because it really angers some people on Twitter. So I'm going to stick with that. I like his angle here.
I mean, I don't care what the angle is. As long if Connor Brown starts producing, you can call him whatever you want. I'm just happy to see him score. Before we get to hot and cold performers to wrap up the podcast, I want to just say nice to see some news from the Oilers depth chart this week, as prospect Noah Philp will be resuming his pro career next year after taking the season away from hockey. 6'3", 200-pound right shot center, finished with 19 goals, 18 assists for 37 points in 70 games with the Condors. That's a really, really nice piece of news for the Oilers depth chart. Love to see that.
Yeah, it's great, man. I mean, I obviously called a ton of his games when he was with the Golden Bears at the U of A, and he is just, he's a beast, man. He's a big boy, like you said, 6'3", but he moves so smooth. He's got such a heavy wrist shot. He's gone through so much personally, and I really felt for him when it was announced that he was retiring last year and didn't want to continue. And you really hoped that some time away would allow him to get to a good spot where he wanted to play hockey again and where he felt like he could just operate on a day-to-day basis again, which I'm really happy to see this man. And I think, you know, next year he'll probably need a season to get back up to speed, but as a, you know, maybe 26, 27 year old, I could see him being an NHLer one day and getting up with the Oilers.
Well, wasn't there a lot of people at the start of the season saying he had a pretty good chance to make the team this year? Like, it'll be interesting. Like, a year of hockey isn't easy to come back from by any means, but now going into camp next spring, like, what is he going to be able to do next fall?
He's probably training full out right now, right? So by the time camp comes around, he should be relatively ready to go for camp. So
it's going to be at the very, very least, a really nice addition to the Bakersfield Condors, a really nice addition to the Oilers depth chart. And just like Tyler said, a really good story for a nice, for a good young man. So love to see that. That's some good news. Gentlemen, put your thinking caps on. It is time for hot and cold performers. But first, I want to tell you about the game day viewing party we're hosting at Greta on April 6th. We are doing it in support of the Logan Hunter Memorial Fund. We are going to be watching the game. We're going to be enjoying ourselves. We're going to be just having a blast together, and we're going to be doing it all for a great cause. So if you go to nationgear.ca, currently there are tickets available right at the top of the screen. $20 for a ticket will get you in. You get a bunch of stuff there. You're going to have Tyler on the mic. You have the pregame show there. You're going to have the postgame show. The boys are all going to be there. We're going to have a great night down at Greta. And maybe, Lehman, you didn't hear this yesterday on Real Life, but I feel like you and Waz should be challenging each other to the football game. I'd like to see this, because I don't think Waz knows how to throw.
I would not be shocked by any means. And he, to be fair, he's had a lot to say for himself the last couple of weeks. So I think you're right. I think we will have to go 1v1 at Greta one of these days.
Could beat him left-handed.
I could beat him with my eyes closed and my hands tied behind my back.
I feel like this is the
like humbling, Air Gun would.
It's humbling Waz needs after so rudely posting Liam's dark moment at the football game on our social over and over again, by the
three way. Three times.
So watch out for that 1v1 coming. All right, gentlemen, we always start with our veggies here on Hot and Cold Performers. Again, nationgear.ca, our event at Greta on the April 6th. Go get your tickets. I am looking at Liam Horobin first. You are up. Your Cold Performer of the Week, sir.
My Cold Performer of the Week is the Vegas Golden Knights. I really, really was hoping there would be a playoff race in the Western Conference and that Vegas would be hanging on by the skin of their teeth. But they keep winning, and I hate it. So the Vegas Golden Knights for actually being a good team.
Rick, you're up next for NationGear.ca, your Cold Performer of the Week.
People who don't get into their seats before the period or the game starts. I'm so annoyed by everyone walking down. It's like 8:22 or 18:22 into the game, into the period, and people are still filing into their seats. 16:25, and they're still coming down to their seats. And then the people that leave too early too. I'm very glad about that, the Henrique goal last night, because people are getting up and going to the bathroom, going to concession, doing whatever they want with, you know, a minute to go. I was like, guys, hold on. We can still, and bang, there's a goal that they all miss. So anybody, just get to your seats before the damn face-off. Start.
That's Rick. That is his inner demons coming up. Tyler, noted seat lever earlier.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
They did that against the Washington Capitals. Didn't want to watch them pick up the hats for Zach Hyman. Your Cold Performer of the Week, Tyler, for NationGear.ca.
My Cold Performer of the Week. I honestly don't have a great one, so I'm just honestly going to give it to Blake Lizotte, just for existing, just for being himself. He sucks.
Yeah, that's good.
Fatality.
Tyler killed Blake Lizotte there. See what happened? Loaded the gun. Now he's gone. Cold Performer of the Week for me, for NationGear.ca. I was just going to give it to the entire LA Kings team. They're so annoying. The 1-3-1, garbage to watch. I almost feel bad for LA Kings fans if they weren't so insufferable that they have to watch that. But
they,
I don't.
Hit you in the back of the head with a beer. You don't feel sorry for them.
Well, that's what I mean. I said I almost feel sorry for them, but I don't, because they're insufferable. And remember, in this economy, someone threw a $20 US beer at my head in LA. Hit me and drenched the poor lady behind me. Rude people, very rude people. And just like, again, the Lizotte slew foot, the Mikey Anderson whining in the, when he's laying in the, in you know, when after Zach Hyman cross-checked him, just the whole thing is annoying. I don't like him, but I very much would love to see a round three in that trilogy for the playoff series. It would just be fun.
Emotional damage.
Let's wrap it up with the positives. Gentlemen, we are reversing the order. Tyler Remchuk, you were up first. Your NationGear.ca Hot Performer of the Week. Go buy tickets April 6th, the viewing party. Go see Tyler live in action.
My Hot Performer of the Week is Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who single-handedly restored my hope and optimism in the Toronto Blue Jays this year by murdering a baseball 450 feet. He looking slim thick this year. He's moving well. He's crushing baseballs. And he's got this sick-ass Barry Bonds-style dangling earring that is giving me life. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Hot Performer of the Week.
What's that?
What is it?
I don't know.
You got to react. I don't know. I just, it says fun music is what it says on my board here. I don't know.
Can you click it again? Not familiar.
No, I think it's from like a, I think it's from like an ACCO commercial or something, if I remember correctly. Rick, you're up. You're up next. Your NationGear.ca Hot Performer of the Week.
I know everybody, they had really nice things to say about him. I think it was on the weekend when he was doing his thing. But Luke Gazdick, everything he's doing right now on TV, we don't exactly get the best option in terms of analysis on in hockey games right now. I think TNT does a lot better job than we're getting out of Sportsnet. But I think what Luke is doing right now is actually really, really impressive. I really enjoy watching him.
Let's go, baby.
Shout out to Luke Gazdick. I actually, when he was on Hockey Night in Canada as well, I thought that the back and forth between him and BX, that was great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Liam, you're up next. Your nationgear.ca hot performer of the week.
My hot performer of the week, I will give it to, I was at the JPL last weekend and that place is awesome every time we go. So the JPL, they asked me if I had ever seen, they asked me if I had ever seen the Queen's Suite before. And I said, indeed.
Yeah. Had a weird night in there, if I'm being honest.
We not present, though.
No, no. Only in spirit. Mm-hmm. We could feel it.
Feel it.
Hob performer of the week for me is, it's an easy one. It's the layup, so I'm going to take it. Connor McDavid is playing out of his mind right now. And that's not abnormal. We've seen him do it countless times in his career where he goes on these heaters where you go, I don't know if he can get any better than this. And then he just goes and gets better than this. But this season is unique in that way because of how, quote unquote, slow the start of his year was. If you look, he was very like, he was still putting up solid numbers for a mere mortal early in the year, but not Connor McDavid numbers. So to see him racing up the leaderboard the way he has now, only two back in Nikita Kucherov, is unbelievable. Connor McDavid for nationgear.ca, my hot performer of the week. As we're going to wrap up the podcast here, gentlemen, the Oilers have a big game tomorrow against the Anaheim Ducks. Dare I say a must win, even though it's not mathematically one of those games. It's one of those ones where you look at it. I don't want them looking past the Anaheim Ducks is, I guess, my bigger point. I want them going into that game like that is the most important task they have remaining all season. And I want them to absolutely stomp Anaheim. Mm-hmm. I want a revenge goal from Adam Henrique. I want revenge goal from Sam Carrick. I want a revenge goal from Corey Perry. I want it all.
So Perry probably plays tomorrow then, right?
I mean, you would think so. I think Nobby would give him a little love there, don't you think?
I think you have to.
I think you have to. We'll see. We'll see. Of course, no lineup information out just yet, but I want to ask your score prediction. We're going to predict the future. Tyler Yaremchuk, you're up first. Your score prediction tomorrow. Anaheim Ducks, 2 p.m. start. Rogers Place. Go.
I'm going to say 7-3 Oilers. Woo!
We are betting the Peck line in the Castle Yaremchuk. Rick, score prediction.
I should know better than this, and I should take a low score because that's probably what's going to happen, but I'm going 5-0 Edmonton.
Liam.
I'm going 6-2 Edmonton.
4-2 win coming at you. You're going to put a couple of shekels down. The odds are always great, and they're delicious. Big win coming tomorrow. You can see it. I can feel it. Final thoughts, Tyler, before we wrap it up?
I think Connor McDavid will get 5 points tomorrow.
Enjoy your weekend, everybody.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.